Will you turn with me to God's Word, please, to the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, John chapter 13, and verse 33, and we will read on into chapter 14. John chapter 13 and verse 33, these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to his apostles. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and ye have seen him. May God bless to each of us the reading of his most holy word. Now, I suspect that most of us like to receive presents. Is that right?
Yep.
You like to receive presents. You know, a pair of socks? Well, perhaps not. A scarf? Well, not really. I'm quite fond of jigsaw puzzles. And I've attempted puzzles of all shapes and sizes. I did one once about 5,000 pieces. I don't know how we ever did it, how we ever managed to keep it together, because you obviously had to take quite a bit of time to get the thing done, but a jigsaw puzzle. Now, I want you to think of three little girls in a family, and they've got a box with pieces of jigsaw in, been a present to them. And they open the box and pour out the pieces on the floor, and try as they might, they can't put the bits together. Now, what could we suggest to them to help them find how it fits together? If you know, put your hand up. What would you say to them if they said, well, I can't understand this puzzle. Where can I find help? Where do you think they might find help? Anyone here know? What would you do, young man, if you had a puzzle like that? You wasn't sure what the picture was about, so you didn't know how to put it together. Look at the picture on the box, that's it. You look at the picture on the box. Now there it is. This Bible of mine, you know, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. There are all sorts of bits and pieces inside, and to many people, they don't seem to fit together. But they do if you look at the box in which they're contained. You look at the Bible as a whole. You then discover what it's all about. Now, there are many confusions about what the Christian message is about today, and there are many different voices. And I want to take a little statement of our Lord. It's a profound statement, but it's so simple that each word is a word of one syllable. You will find it in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way." Now, you won't find a simpler text than that. And yet, as I'm going to try and show, it's actually a text which is very profound. And yet, you know, people today, they look at a text like that and they want to alter it. There are people who will say, well, you know, religion is the way. Or perhaps they'll say, you know, having lofty ideals is the way. There are all sorts of things that they will put in the place where Jesus said, "I am the way." And of course, people will say, well, of course, there are all sorts of religious leaders and different churches and different denominations and different beliefs. So we can't say that Jesus is the way. We can't say, "I am the way." But that's what Jesus said. And the interesting thing is that when you look inside this box here at the various pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, you will find that the main theme of the picture as it builds up, it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where you look, whether it's in Genesis or whether it's in Revelation or the Psalms or one of the prophets, it's all really about Christ. Many verses point forward. Many verses point backward. But they're all about Him. There's a little verse in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. It's a very profound statement. Paul says this: "In all things, He might have the preeminence." That means the very first place. The very first place. And if you put Jesus Christ in the first place, then all the other bits of the jigsaw puzzle will fit together. So Jesus said, "I am the way." Not religion is the way, or spirituality, whatever that might be, but Jesus Christ is the way. Him personally is the way. And of course, the next little word is the word "am." There are people who will say, well, of course, we live in a postmodern era, whatever that might mean. It sounds good, doesn't it? And if they say it loud and pompously enough, you really begin to think that they're really rather special. They're not really. But there it is, a postmodern era. Or they might say, we're living in an era when we've got to be considerate to every point of view. I remember once when I was in Herne Bay in Kent, I was a minister there, and we were having a discussion about various forms of religious belief. And the Methodist minister said to me and the other ministers who were gathered in our little meeting, he said, "You know, truth is like an elephant," he said. "It's like an elephant, and you're trying to pin a tail on the elephant. And some people approach it and they find a leg, and others find a trunk, and others find an ear, and they get a view of what the elephant's like by what they feel. But no one gets the complete picture." Well, there it is. But the point is, Jesus said, "I am the way." He didn't say, "I will be." He doesn't say, "I was." There are people who would say, well, of course, this gospel that you make such a fuss about the Lord Jesus Christ, He was the way. There was a time when it was right to preach like that, but that's all gone. But no, "I am the way," says Jesus Christ. And that's important for a very special reason. You know, God's name in the Old Testament, it was revealed first of all to Moses. His name was I Am. Genesis chapter 3, You look it up when you get home, you'll find it there. I am that I am. The words I am, the self-existent one. And that's why the Jews were so offended when he so often used the words I am. Before Abraham was, he said, I am. It didn't say before Abraham was, I was. That would have been true, but it wasn't the full truth. Before Abraham was, I am. Always the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He was God. He is God. He always will be God. He is God manifest in the flesh. I am. Then we come to the little word thee. I am the way. Now that's a very exclusive word. It shuts out so much else that's not true. It narrows it right down to that which is true. And the truth is this, that there is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. A minister once said to me, you must think I meet with an odd lot of ministers, but a minister said to me one day, well, of course, there are many ways to God. No, no, there's only one way to God. There are many ways to Christ. Some people come to Christ through some tragedy they've experienced, a bereavement, a serious illness, unemployment, some anxiety or worry or concern that's borne them down, and they don't know where to look, and in their anxiety and in their need they look to Jesus Christ, and he meets them at the point of their need. He is the way, the only way. But some people think that there are many, many ways to God, but no. He is the way, the only way. And then the word way. Now, when you're on a way, it means you're on a journey. When I come here on a Sunday, I know the road now, I suppose, every inch of the way. I know every pothole, every turning. I know exactly where I am. And that's very helpful, especially if you get forgetful. And so here I am. The way. I am the way. Now, a journey has a beginning. It has a going on, a progress, a continuance, and it has a destination, it has an end. And this is how about being a Christian. We're not born Christians. Not at all. Oh, but someone says to me, I was born in a Christian country. That doesn't make you a Christian. If you were born in McDonald's, it doesn't make you a hamburger. Not at all. No, 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 no. No, it's not where you were born. It's the family in which you were born. That's the thing that counts. The thing that makes my children, is that they were born into my family. And the thing that makes a boy or a girl or a man or a woman here a child of God is if you've been born into God's family. And by nature, we're very far from being in God's family. We've rebelled against God, the Bible declares frequently and in so many ways. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own ways, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so there is only one way to God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we only become Christians by coming to him. One of the great Bible words is come. Come. And we must come to him. Not go to someone else, but come to him. Come unto me, said Jesus, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now my question is this. Have you come? Well, you say, I've been a church member for so many years. That's not the question. The question is, have you come to Christ? You've come to church. That's good. I'm not objecting to that at all. But have you actually come yourself and committed yourself and rested yourself and your soul salvation upon the Lord Jesus Christ? In the words of our last hymn that we're going to have shortly, have you said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? I dare not trust the sweetest rain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's what being a Christian is all about. It's to depend, to rest upon him. It's even more than belief. Of course it's important that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the devils believe and tremble, the Bible says. The great thing is to trust him, to rely on him. Have I ever told you the story about my water wings? I'm sure some of you have heard this. Well, I'll take a chance and I'll tell you again anyway. I can't swim. I'm a very unusual Baptist minister. I get into water and baptise people, but if I were to slip, I'm in difficulties because I can't swim. So if you go into a Baptist church and the minister goes in the tank with someone to be baptised and the minister's wearing water wings, that's me. That's me. Well, when I was a young lad, I went on a school holiday. This is just after the war, and holidays were very unusual things, and I was very glad to go on this one. We went down to Sussex to a place called Ashdown Forest, and in this place there was a lovely open-air swimming pool, and I used to very carefully get in with the other youngsters and see them splashing around and enjoying themselves, and I used to cling on at the side for dear life. I was so nervous. And then one young lad lent me a pair of water wings. And I looked at these flimsy bits of plastic, and I thought, well, these won't hold me up. Oh, he said, no, you have to blow them up first. I blew them up, you know. And they still look flimsy, and they look very small. But what I did one evening when everybody else was out watching cricket or something, I thought, well, I will try them out. And so, feeling very foolish, I went down to the swimming pool, and there I was in my swimming trunks, and I put these water rings around my neck, and I got in at the shallow end, holding on to the side, and I went along like this, and they slope, you know. The floor of the swimming pool sloped. And I went down and down and down and down and down until the water reached up to about here. And then something happened. I slipped! Oh! And I let go my grasp on the ridge at the side of the pool to which I'd been clinging. And to my amazement, the water wings held me up. They held me up. Now, don't ask me to explain how it's possible that these bits of plastic, just a bit of breath together, could hold me up. I was a bit bulky even in those days, but hold me up they did, and I've never forgotten it. Now, that's the difference between simply believing in something and trusting. When the Bible talks about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the wonderful answer to the question that Paul gave to the man who was a jailer in Philippi. He'd been in jail overnight, and the jailer said to him, what must I do to be saved? And Paul's answer was this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What he meant was to rely upon, to rest on, to put your weight on, to wholly depend on him to the exclusion of all else. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My question then is this: is that your position today? Not Jesus and being baptized, not Jesus and coming to the Lord's table, important though both those things are, not even Jesus and reading your Bible, and I wouldn't be without my Bible for a moment. Not Jesus and attending church. Now don't you say I've told you not to attend church, I haven't. But what I'm trying to tell you is this, that he must be the sole source of our support. We rest on him. And when we rest on him alone, then we find that we have peace with God, the forgiveness of sins, life everlasting, and life will never be the same again. Do you remember John Bunyan? I've just been reading Faith Cook's wonderful new biography of John Bunyan. And she repeats those words with which I'm so familiar, how that when he came to the cross and his burden slipped away, he did a hop, skip and a jump, and he went on his way rejoicing. Well, you know, when you're a Christian and you rely upon Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you can give a hop, skip and a jump, and you can say, praise God, my sins are gone. They're put away. Christ has taken them and paid the price, and now I am free. Now there's my text, four simple words. I am the way. Jesus, to the exclusion of all else, he is the way. I am the way, he says. And remember that the way is a journey. Now I ask you, have you begun the journey? Have you started it? The great thing is you can start it at any time. But the best time to start it is now. Now, the Bible says, is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So this afternoon, young or old, listen to my voice now and look to Jesus Christ and look into him, resting in him. Know the wonder and the joy of sins forgiven and of life everlasting. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for our blessed Saviour. There is no one quite like him. We thank thee that having died on the cross for our sins, he now lives forevermore, that he reigns over heaven and earth, and that one day he is coming again, and we who know him and who trust him shall see him, and we shall be like him. We do pray for thy blessing upon the preaching of the gospel message, the good news, everywhere today. And we pray that here and in other places there will be someone who looks to the Saviour and rests upon him, and so doing have the joy and certainty of life everlasting. Hear our prayer. Let our cry come unto thee, and let thy blessing rest upon us, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.